Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Que Dios te siga bendiciendo grandemente.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God continue to bless you greatly and continue to use you greatly in the work at this end time, and each one of us as well. May the blessings of the God, Creator of the heavens and the earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, bless us mightily through His Word. May He search our hearts, our thoughts, our actions, and may He see an honest heart there, a pure heart, a heart which He can fully pour Himself into it and work in the midst of His church at this end time without limitations. O eternal God, behold your people. Bless us with your word. And may we leave this place, Lord, with everything we need to continue pleasing you every day that we have left on this earth. In your eternal and glorious name, as Son of David, Sovereign King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, in this glorious claiming work, William, amen and amen. It is truly a great blessing and a great privilege to be here in Villahermosa, Mexico, here in the congregation pastored by the Reverend Andres Cruz Gallegos, whom I also ask God to bless him greatly. For this occasion, our subject is the Son of Man, a sign for this generation. And he read to us there in the Gospel according to Luke, in chapter 11, verse 29 and on, where he tells us in the following manner. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." There he draws a Star of David on the left. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with the man of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The Son of Man, a sign for this generation. You may please be seated. This message we will be seeing was preached by Dr. William Soto on Saturday, December 5th of 2009 in Austin, Texas. He tells us in the message, the blessing of following the true guide, the angel of the covenant. This message was preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on July 2, 2009, in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. And he tells us, to sit on the throne of David, as Son of David, Son of Man, Son of David, he must veil himself in human flesh, changing his mask. Notice, he must have a veil of flesh in order to sit on the throne and in the kingdom of David, which will be established in this end time. But first, that kingdom is being established here, in the soul, where the Holy Spirit will be enthroned in all of its fullness, in all the sons and daughters of God. In other words, what we will be seeing in the millennium, we ourselves will be experiencing it as individuals. And that is what the church during the dispensation of grace was longing for, was asking for. Every messenger wanted that to be fulfilled in his age with his group. But notice, the most blessed group of all the groups is us. God, by His mercy and His grace, has placed us in the best time, the most glorious time, the time that many desire to be in. And the one who was and he wasn't in his physical body, rather he was transported to one of the activities, was our brother Branham. Look, he even tried to come down. I was trying to make my feet, because he was right there, 12 feet high. Anyone might say, he said, I'll just make a jump and land down there. But he couldn't. How many times have they desired to be here on earth? Surely if Brother Branham tried that, how many have desired it? Even in our daily living, laboring in the work, in the print press, in the construction works, in the tasks, in the work, selling tamales, doing something for the kingdom of God, and them trying, oh, if I could only be there. A carpenter is working, and he needs a piece of wood. Hand me that stick. And he says, oh, I'll hand it. Oh, I can't come down. I will give it to you. Just to do something at this time. Notice, if God would give us a bit more of what He has already given us, but on that subject, regarding the great blessing that you have at this time, to work. Notice, something simpler, to pray. The fact that you can pray in this body, to be praying for the promises in this body, to pray for provision, to pray for healing, that is unique. We are only experiencing it. And for Him also to give you the opportunity to wake up in the morning and to do something for the kingdom of God, which there in heaven in the sixth dimension, they all desire to come and do something, to pick up a little piece of paper and throw it in the trash, to stretch out their hand to a brother and say, God bless you. Look, when you're aware of the blessing you have, you value every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every month, every year of the life that God has given us at this time. For others, notice, it's cut short. And when they are in their last days, they say, I should have done so much more. I should have done more. I could have done more. Value your health. Value the opportunity that God gives you to work in the work. And do not be stingy with God's time. Brother Branham says, I've stolen from God. And Brother Branham, in what? He says, in time. Now. Notice that that kingdom and that throne that will be established in the millennial kingdom will be the Holy Spirit incarnate. And it will be the first occasion in which that throne and kingdom of David will be ruled by a glorified body. It is like the first time that the heavenly throne of the seventh dimension was being occupied by a glorified body. And it's the first occasion that the throne of David, which will be established on this planet Earth, will be ruled by a glorified body, by the last dispensational prophet messenger. He who is, the Lord said, giving the food in due season to the people, the faithful and wise servant, in that last mask or veil of flesh, in which he is manifesting himself. In the book of quotations, notice, there, finishing up that paragraph, he must veil himself in human flesh, changing his mask. In the Old Testament, he used masks, that is, veils of flesh, until the veil of flesh came, with which, once glorified, he would sit on the heavenly throne. And that is how it's been during the different stages of the church. Christ, using veils of flesh, who said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is, how would he be? Working, changing from mask, up to the last one. He keeps that one. With that one, he will be establishing the kingdom of the Prince Messiah in Israel. And from there, he will rule not only Israel, but all of the human family. In the book of quotations on page 124, paragraph 1101, he tells us, here, why couldn't they see Jesus? He was masked. God was masked. The Greeks wanted a God, and here he was, but they couldn't see him because of the veil. There stood a man. They come to see God, and they seen a man. See? They couldn't see God because God was veiled to them. Now, keep that in your mind. God was veiled in a man. They could say, no man could do these works except it be God. No man can do it. And how here stands a man, and yet the works of God is manifested through him. See, they couldn't understand that God was veiled. He is veiled in a man, as he always was veiled. But he was veiled unto them. He was in his human temple. God was in a human temple. Now be real careful. Now he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, God veiled, hiding himself from the world, veiled in human beings. They could only see a man, but those predestinated seen God. One saw a man, the other one saw God. See, and it was God veiled in a human being, making both of them right. They were both seeing the same thing. But one was seeing the important part, the divine part. He was seeing the one who was inside that man, which both were seeing. One saw the man, the other saw God. But your faith in that what you don't see, you believe it anyhow. God veiled in a human being. There he writes at the top, God in the form of a man. The works of God in a man. He also writes that there. And he also writes, God veiled in a man, and three circles. On the left, he also writes upward his human temple. And halfway through the paragraph, there he draws a small Star of David. Now notice about this as well on the next page, 125, paragraph 11:13. Also there he tells us, the Gentile church has also been blinded from the veil, after it's been tore off and showed God the ecclesiastical veil. How? By veiling the word in human being again. That's exactly what Israel failed to see. If he would have been an angel or something, Israel would have believed it. But being he could not be an angel, it had to be a man. Amen. God can't break his word. In the last days, it has to be the same thing again. It's got to be through a man. See? What blinded Israel? What blinded Israel? That man. You're a man making yourself God. That's what they killed him for. And today, because the message comes through man and not angels. See? God can't change his way, change his word. He said he changed not, see? Noticed, promised. And the Gentiles are just as blind today as Israel was. Because what? The veil. God veiled in human being, blinded Israel. Notice, has ever blinded one? One, it will blind, the other, it will reveal the truth. It will close the eyes of some and open the eyes of the others. At the bottom he writes, by the veil, he will blind some and open the eyes of others. There on top he also writes, it will blind one and it will open the eyes of others. The coming of Christ. He also wrote that there. And also there on the corner of that paragraph on the right top, he writes, the man, the flesh. There is a group here that God has opened their eyes. They are so open that you are seeing God. You don't see the man. You see God working, fulfilling what he promised. He said that at the end time, the Holy Spirit would be in the midst of his church, and that under the ministry of the third pool, he would be bringing the people the rapture in faith. He would be revealing the mystery of his coming, where the seventh seal is being opened. Now notice also on 126, on 11:18, there it also tells us, when the word was in Moses, he was God in flesh. See? When it was in Jesus, it was God in flesh. See? Only thing he done was change his mask. Not his word, not his nature. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He only changed his form. He changed from Noah to Moses. He changed from Moses to David. From David, Joseph, on down till he come into the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See? It's still the same God. Joseph was the word in his days, portraying. And there he writes, portrayed on the right. portraying Christ exactly. See, each one of them was the Word. And when Jesus came, He was the Word in its fullness, because the whole plan of redemption laid in Him. The whole plan of redemption was in Him, in the fulfillment of the first coming of the Lord. And the whole claiming plan is in the fulfillment of the seventh seal. That program, that claiming plan, is there in its entirety. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, how would he be in Holy Spirit, heavenly body, the angel of the covenant, using different veils of flesh from age to age? But at the last day, he would come in the veil of flesh that would sit with him in his earthly throne. Now notice, in whom the Holy Spirit, the angel of the covenant, would be ruling the entire planet Earth in that throne that will be restored in a veil of flesh. On page 13a of this book of quotations, paragraph, look, that is why Brother Branham desired to fulfill the part that corresponded to Moses and Elijah. And he wanted to go to Israel. In other words, if under the ministry of Brother Branham, the Hebrew people could have been converted, he would have taken that jewel, that blessing, and he and his group would have that part of cornerstone. He would be the one in whom Christ would be ruling the millennium. But notice, if he had gone there, he would have brought them into the grace. He wouldn't have brought them into the dispensation of the kingdom. And also, he did not have the ministry of Elijah in its fifth manifestation. Nor was that ministry of Elijah accompanied by Moses. Moses is the ministry that, he says, he will call Moses with him. In other words, the ministry of Moses. That is in the book of quotations. Let us see if we can find it quickly. It's on one of the odd number pages on the other side. He says that he'll call Moses with him. 424. No, that's not it. 494. Notice that there, from page 57, yes, the spirit of Elijah, of this Gentile church, will just continue right on into that Jewish church. See? A cornerstone in the ages and an arrow. There he draws two small arrows. In other words, he continues from the seventh age, and it enters to that Jewish church. Go right on in and call Moses with him. Now, how would that be fulfilled? Simple. Now, amen, you see it? And he will preach the same message of Pentecost to those Jews. Year of Jubilee, Leviticus 25, he wrote on top, that they rejected the Messiah, amen, you see it? It will be the same Pentecostal message that the Jews will preach right over to them. he writes above Moses and Elijah. And on the left towards the top, he writes, the Jewish age equals dispensation of the kingdom and an age of the cornerstone with a little stone. And he also writes the Gentile age. Now let us see 13:8-128. He tells us, now what did he promise to vindicate himself? In a man, in a human flesh, like he did to Abraham. When the Son of Man, it would be the Son of Man, not the Son of God now, the Son of God in a Son of Man. In Ezekiel, the first chapter, the second verse, Jehovah called Ezekiel the Son of Man, exactly what Jesus called himself. You understand that through the teaching of the week. Now see, what is the Son of Man? What is the Son of Man? Prophetic. There where it says, the Son of God in the Son of Man, he draws a Star of David there on the right. And there also on the left, upward, he writes the teaching. Now see, what is the Son of Man? Prophetic. What was Malachi for? To be a prophet. What was these things to happen in the last days? Now, he never said when. He said they would happen. And they did. Now, you, if he is still the Son of God, the Son of Man, ready to be revealed in the last days on the throne of David, as Son of David. He is that word. And he has just changed his mask. See, from what could not be seen to what is absolutely declared, the Word made flesh. There at the bottom he writes, the Word made flesh. Son of David. He wrote that on the left towards the top also. Son of David upon the throne. He left it right there. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me, where does it say? In my throne. Even as I also overcome, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 3, verse 21. And now notice how simple everything is. It's God changing instruments, masks, like in a movie. The same one who plays the part of a certain character, later on in another movie, he can play the part of another character. Well, that's how the Holy Spirit is. And now, we have seen a bit of what the mystery of the Son of David will be. And we will understand it well. You know when? When we see him sitting on the throne. There, we will see who is the one who will sit with Christ on his throne, the throne of David, for the restoration of the kingdom of David. Then there will be no room for doubt. And to be a part of the work and of the labor to have him sit on the throne of David, oh my, that is something that no human being, not even the mighty man of David back then, have that blessing that we have. They had the blessing of sitting David back then, the David, son of Jesse, on the throne, back in that time. But God has given us the greatest blessing to seat the Son of David, the Son of Man, the Son of David, on an eternal throne, on a throne that will be for all eternity. Now that is a work and a job that will last for all eternity. And now, to put a president or a governor or a mayor, well, he has his people and they work to put him to try to win the elections, as they call it. And when that governor or president wins, well, who will he take with him? Who will he put beside him? Well, those who fought to sit him in that position. And they start to prepare long beforehand. And when they see that he is winning, many from other candidates even switch to then give him a boost because they know that he will win. And if it is so in the earthly kingdoms, how is it and how will it be, or how has it been, and how is it happening at this time in the spiritual realm when God has already removed the veil from the children of God and they have been able to see who is the living candidate out of all the messengers who is alive and who is living on this planet Earth? Well, everyone is striving, working, and they are already seeing in advance who will sit on the throne and kingdom of David. In other words, we are already felting. We are already feeling the cool air of that kingdom because those kings and priests are already present. Princesses and princes who would be with the Son of David ruling for the millennium and eternity. You're laughing. But to see and experience in these bodies all that labor and all that work that we are doing, which will transcend to eternity. And day after day we see a little more, a little more, a little more the greatness and the great blessing that we have. We would never get tired of glorifying God, praising God every day. And even going to a corner, as Brother Branham says, to cry a little bit, but of joy out of happiness. Now look. On page 110 of this book of quotations, the Reverend William Branham also tells us, paragraph 966, remember, each church age, the one preceding it inherits all that the other ones offered. Watch up here. Now here, it's after they don't receive all these powers, these new names, and everything written that he promised, and eat the hidden manna, and all down through. Watch this last church age, Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Amen. Even as I also overcome, and am sit down with my Father in his throne. There on the left he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow from under the throne towards the cornerstone. And there below he writes, he comes to claim his own throne. And so does the church, because she comes to do the same thing. In other words, we are claiming what belongs to us. Now, why is it the claiming time? Oh, remember that the title deed is here. That gives us the right to claim, to ask and to claim everything that belongs to us. And one of the things is the throne and kingdom of David. Also above that paragraph, in 111, there on the top, he writes, he will sit with me on my throne. He will sit with me on my throne. That is what Christ says to his angel. And his angel, which is the Holy Spirit, says to the church bride today, you will sit with me on the throne and in the kingdom of David. It is a promise for all of us. Therefore, that is already thus saith the Lord. It is a word that will not fall to the ground. See? It is uttered, received, and believed. Because if it is not spoken, and there are no ears and a heart with faith to receive it, then that is as far as it goes. But when that word is spoken and falls in there, in that new ground, good ground, there that word, it is like a seed, and that has to sprout, and has to produce, and what was sown there must be fulfilled. The chosen ones will be transformed. They take it, I believe it, and I will be transformed. And that word then has to produce the effect. That word in that elect has to carry out what it has come in for, and what that person has believed it for. God is then obligated to fulfill that word. Why? He made the promise. Well, if he made the promise, and a person believed it with all of his heart, he is faithful to fulfill it. And as I've said, he who will be transformed, there is no one can take that away from him. No matter how much you try to run away, you won't be able to. You can't. It's best that you face things, because otherwise you will take a few smackings, because you can't avoid your transformation. But he who won't be transformed, there is no way. There is no chance, even though he may be the most holy person in the world, there is no way, there is no chance to be transformed. Now, look, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, that is why the Hebrew people is waiting for Elijah, who will restore all things. And he will come forerunning the coming of the Messiah. And he will come proclaiming the everlasting peace. The peace that the Messiah will give in his kingdom to Israel and to all nations. That everlasting perfect peace will only come in the kingdom of the Messiah. Before that, there will come a temporary peace that will end with an atomic third world war. But the everlasting peace only in the kingdom of the Messiah. And it will come forth from the throne of the Messiah for all of Israel and for all nations. From Israel will come the salvation for the nations, just as the salvation for the individuals has come. The salvation of the soul came from where? From Israel. In the message, Revelation chapter 5, part 1, which is from the unedited book of the ages, or the revelation of Jesus Christ, in Spanish, is in page 667. Here on page 32, on the thick book, unedited. But in English, corresponds to page 24, paragraph 161. It says, and so many times that we hunt for God and look for God. And if God was just everywhere and you, he had a great big three dots. Well, if he had a great big throne sitting up here somewhere, everybody would believe in God then. If God sat up on a big throne here somewhere, say, he sits in this certain city, and here he is. This is God. And you go to him. He writes on top of that paragraph, the throne established in what to do. He can just, Brother Branham snaps his fingers, turn it like that. Why, everybody would believe him. Then faith would be void. There he writes on the left upward, faith would be void. We wouldn't have to have any faith at all then. You see, That would be it. That will be in the millennium. But now, he is calling. Because in the millennium, there indeed, the throne is there. But now. But now he's calling and trying to find out those who. Three dots. It looks mysterious and dark. And you don't know how to do it. But by faith, we believe it. We believe. That's the reason this is. You understand that? See? Now, it'll take that rapturing faith. It'll take that faith to know where God is. It'll take that faith to know where the throne of God is. He continues to say, there he also writes the millennium, he wrote it upward. Now, if God sits up on the throne and said, and there on the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. Here is God. He lives down in certain place. We'll go down there. There he draws Star of David on the left. And say, dear sir, God, would you do it? Yes, I'll do it. Brother Branham blows. And it would be done. See? Well, of course, that's God, see? My, we see that. So there wouldn't be no need. Faith would be made void. Faith's no good when you're positive. And he writes faith on the right. And on top he writes, faith would be made void. Or will be made void. Three dots. What if every person in this world was a Christian? What if everybody was a spirit-filled Christian? Why, we wouldn't need any faith no more. Wouldn't need any faith at all. And faith is the very thing that we're saved by, is faith. And that's the reason there has to be some disagree with it, so that we can exercise faith. Do you understand it now? You've got to have the other side, see? You've got to have a bad woman to make a real one stand out right. There on the right upward, he writes, the negative makes the positive shines. The negative makes the positive shine. See? There's got to be a lie to make the truth positive and make it shine good. If everything was truth, it would be just so common, see? See? But you see, it's something royal, it's something real. When truth and faith and so forth. Now there we are. Now, we've got to have these pros and cons. That's the way it goes. You've got to have good days to make you enjoy, or bad days to make you enjoy the good. You have to have a little sickness to make you enjoy good health. See? And you have to have your valleys to make you enjoy the mountain tops. There on the right, he writes top. And a little cornerstone, he draws a Star of David, and the cornerstone and the ages. And so then, some of these days, they notice that God at this time has even made us draftsmen and writers, because we draw. We write. Even brethren who did not write, now that has encouraged them to write. We ourselves are writing. Both God in the soul of each heart, the entire story of the seventh seal which we are making, our lives, everything, and with our hands writing. Notice, if we knew how great is to live in this time, that is why you should thank God every day for living in a time like this, a time that will not be repeated. When this day passed, then I say this day is over. It is past. That is being marked. Marked, marked. Everything that we are doing. And so then, some of these days, it'll all be mountaintop. It'll all be health. It'll all be God. It'll all be joy. Just three dots. There'll be unending joys. But until that time, see, we got to have these pros and cons. No one can take it away from us. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say there, before that, a bit further on. And now, we have seen this mystery briefly, but you already have other messages, which, upon studying them, you will have a clearer picture. At this end time, you will be seeing an approach of the Hebrew people, of the religious leaders, with that divine project and with that instrument that God has to sit him with him on his earthly throne. On these days, on Monday the 11th of this month of August, the chief rabbi of Iran is arriving to Puerto Rico, Yehuda Jerami. He will be arriving with his wife and his children. He had to leave Iran recently because of what happened. And he traveled, and he told me that he wanted to speak with me. I even said to him, "May I say it?" He said, "Yeah, you can say it. Say it." And he traveled. He managed to get as far as Los Angeles, where we were looking to see where I could go to meet him, to see what he wanted to tell me. And with the trip here, well, the timing didn't work out. And he said, "No, I'll go to Puerto Rico." And I want to speak with Jose. And also, his name is Victor Cameo. He is also coming. They were both in the Congress in Puerto Rico, the one held with rabbis. And he will arrive with him. He is a representative of the Jewish community in Syria. And he told us, in Syria since 1993, there is no Jew. There are no Jews. The population outside of Syria, of Jews who are from Syria that are abroad, is active. And he is a very important figure in that entire community, especially in the main one that is from New York. And they told me that with the change of government in Syria, he is one of the people in charge of rebuilding and caring for the synagogues, cemeteries, and so on. And the synagogue that they say was of the prophet Elijah. So they have entrusted him with this task. He's like a representative. He's an important person. And he told us, along with his wife, at the Congress, it's been a year ago, it was in 2024, in May. She was specially saddened because she said that the only one, the synagogue there, was destroyed. And remember that I told her, it will be rebuilt and everything will be well. I said to her, or something like that. And she believed it together with him, but it was just her there alone. We were speaking in the hallway as we were leaving. And look, a year later, now Syria is being freed. And he is also coming to speak to me about all of that. And also, but he will tell me that there. I won't tell you something that he mentioned to me, to wait so that for him to tell me properly. but they are already looking for me to become part of their group of leaders. Now notice, there is an approach, because they are seeing something. And as we say, they are smelling something. They know that the Messiah is a prophet, that he is a man of flesh and bones. He is also going to be the future president of the Syrian community in New York. In other words, he is also an important person. They arrive on Monday, and on Tuesday, we will have that meeting there in Puerto Rico. I hope they let us record it and share with all of you everything that is also being carried out in terms of the rabbis and all these leaders, who what they are seeking is the same thing we are seeking: a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of love, of prosperity. And that can only be possible with the establishment of that Messianic kingdom, the establishment of that throne of David, which there is only one who can carry it out, who can establish that kingdom. And that is God in His last manifestation. As simple as that. In other words, we already know who will be in that kingdom that all governments long to have. And we also know the cabinet. We know the cabinet of all the managements of culture, water, commerce, and all the departments. And each one of us belongs to that cabinet, which God will give us those positions for that glorious Messianic kingdom. Now notice, he goes on to say here, he says, at this end time you will be seeing the Hebrew people, their religious leaders, approaching that divine project and to the instrument that God has to sit him with him on his earthly throne. And I do believe that I spoke to you a little more clearly there on page 50. Brother William says that there. I believe that I spoke to you a little bit more clearly. Page 50 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 431, it says, the Father judges no man, but He's committed all judgment to the Son, God's judgment seat. You speak against me, He'll be forgiving you. Speak another one coming, another mercy seat. You speak against the Son of Man, I will forgive you. But someday the Holy Spirit will come to dwell in the hearts of the people. One word against it will never be forgiven. It keeps getting more severe and more severe all the time, the judgment. Because God is continually wearing His patience out, trying to get sinners to come to Him to be reconciled. First, He was in the heavens. And he writes one. First, one. Above and shining through the stars. The second, and he writes two. He was on earth shining through the Shekinah glory. Next, and he writes three. He came and was made flesh and dwelt among us, still wearing his patience. Then he redeemed man by his blood. And there he writes four. Coming to his church in the form of the Holy Ghost. And speak against that, it's a finished thing, done. Now, you can see where the Shekinah comes. There on the left he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Now, where does the Holy Spirit come? Incarnate? In the fourth watch, which belongs to the age of the cornerstone. Where the time they don't realize. People can't comprehend what it means. Now, the first throne was in heaven, judgment seat. The second throne was in Christ. The third throne is in man. And he draws an arrow on the right and a cornerstone. And he writes, throne. And below that, he writes, first throne equals in heaven, second throne equals Christ, third throne equals man. And he writes, Revelation 10, 8 to 11, 11, 3 to 6. And that is the coming of the mighty angel. Revelation chapter 10 and Revelation 11 is the ministries of Moses and Elijah. He also writes at the bottom, the tabernacle. And above he writes, the judgment seat equals the Son. We also turn to 110. Paragraph 966 tells us, remember each church age. Paragraph 967 says, see that deceiving age that I said is not like them that had their heads cut off back yonder to get the white stone, not those who died under martyrdoms and burnt with stakes and things like that, who won the crown. But it's this deceiving age now that think that they're everything. Well, I'm a church member. I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. I do this. I don't have to do this. But he that overcometh, he that overcomes all the worldly things of this age, and there he draws a cornerstone on the ages, and above he writes, rapture. What will they do? All will sit with him in his throne, will go in the rapture when he comes. And he draws a star of David on the left, and he writes below, on the throne. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, when you see that, when you see what we read, the Hebrew people, their leaders, approaching that instrument, in other words, a man. When you see that, remember, the fulfillment of that divine project is very close, which the forerunner of that divine project spoke about. But the forerunner wouldn't carry out that divine project, but he would be given the pattern, the map, or the prophecy, along with the prophecies that were given by other messengers. And the one who will come after him will be the one who will make it a reality, or God through him will make that entire divine program a reality. In the message, there is a man here that can turn on the light. Tells us, on page 45 of this message, 45, paragraph 254, it says, listen close. We have seen the light, his word that he promised for this day, proven and vindicated. It's the truth, the light of the hour. There on the right, he draws a cornerstone with rays of light and the ages. And he also writes, the light of the hour, God made flesh. He wrote it to the left, towards the top. Oh my, I'm so glad. There is nothing wrong. There is nothing. Here not long ago, a minister was saying that he was down in Florida, and he had him a car, I believe it was a Chevrolet, and the thing went out on him. He couldn't get it fixed, and he went into a garage, and a little old mechanic was going under it and over it, and pecking around. He couldn't get it fixed, and he would try this, and it wouldn't work. And he'd try something else, it wouldn't work. He'd put on a generator, put on this, and put in plugs, put in points. He could not make the thing work. Finally, a nice dressed man stepped up. He said, may I give you some advice? The little mechanic, and he writes, doctor, teacher, the little mechanic had sense enough to say, yes, sir. And he said, you take this and time this and this. And he said, put that together once and try it. And he took this time, that, and put it together. See, there we are seeing obedience. And put it together. And there she went. There on the left, he writes, the car out of time, the bride out of step, comma, time. And he draws a cornerstone there and the ages. The little mechanic, he writes, doctor, turned around and said, say, who are you? He was the engineer, General Motors' chief engineer. He made the thing. He was the one designed it. And he writes, the engineer. And today, when we're talking about Methodist, Baptist, and Presbyterians, chief mechanic is here, the designer of his word, the man who created the heavens and the earth, and designed his church. Does he know more about what it takes for the rapture? Of course. He knows what is needed for the rapture of the church bride. There he writes, the electric current, faith in the promised word, the electric current, faith in the promised word. Does he know more about what it takes for the rapture? Or does the Methodist or Baptist church know more about what it takes? He is the designer. He knows what it takes. He is well dressed in the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. He is walking among us today in the power of his resurrection. He knows what it takes. And he writes, the thunders. Because without the thunders, there is no translation faith. On page 128 of the Book of the Seals, it tells us, and then there is coming forth seven mysterious thunders, that's not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for the rapturing faith. For the rapturing faith. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There is something. Notice there he says, he knows what it takes, and he writes, the thunders. And here he says, and I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for the rapturing faith. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There is something. We got to step further. We can't have enough faith for divine healing. Hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept up out of this earth. And we'll find that after a while, the Lord willing, find where it's written. And notice also on page 253, there also tells us, the bride hasn't had a revival yet. See? There has been no revival there, no manifestation of God to steer the bride yet. See? We're looking for it now. It'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. See? Yep, he'll send it. He promised it. There he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. Now notice, he continues to say here, there's a man here who can turn on the light. He knows what it takes. And he writes, the thunders, to put a church in rapture order. What are the seven unknown thunders for? To put the church in order. So that she doesn't lose her pace. He designed it and put the parts together here in the Bible. Amen. Just let the current flow through it. Now watch it operate. Let faith in His promised word of today flow through. You'll see how it operates. Let it. Let the Holy Spirit flow in your life. And you will see. You will see those greater works that Jesus Himself said, greater works than these shall you do. But you have to allow to let that current, which is the Holy Spirit, to flow in your life. In other words, faith in the promised word. Why? He designed the thing. He designed His church by the word. That's what He put together. Not by Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian or Pentecostal organization, but by His word. Yes, sir. Get out of them glares. And He writes, the glares. And He writes on the left, also, God in flesh resurrected. And He also writes, rapturing faith. In the midst of darkness, this dark time that we're living in now, just got about 5 minutes more left. In the midst of darkness, who is going to bring the little bride out? In Spanish, they didn't add the question mark. In the midst of darkness, who is going to bring the little bride out? Who knows about it? There he does make the question. The chief designer. In English, is the boss. Oh yeah, from all this confusion of glare. And there he draws a cornerstone with rays of light and the ages. And he writes, who will bring the little bride out from among the glares? He made it a question. And we already have the answer. That fill in the blank is filled. That question is answered. It is the Son of David. It is the Prince Messiah in His claiming work, giving light to the church. Like the case here in the same message, where He tells us and narrates to us about that little boy that saw, her brother saw, who was leading the tour in the cave. And he knew who was the one that had the power to turn it on and off. And as soon as he turned off the light, so that he could, or they could be in darkness in there, it is something the tour guides do in different places. Well, so that people get a sense of the darkness in there. And the little girl got desperate. However, he already knew who had the switch. He says, little sister, don't worry. There is a man here who can turn on the light. It is the Holy Spirit in our age, in the age of the cornerstone, that has turned on the light in this world of darkness and shadows of death, and has given us the hope of a new world, a new body, and new happiness because it's eternal. In other words, everything rests on the coming of the Messiah for the establishment of that kingdom. Now notice, he continues to say, and in the midst of the church, for the church will reach its climax stage in the age of the cornerstone, where everything will be fulfilled in a great tent cathedral. After the fulfillment of that promise, there is no other promise. In the fulfillment of that promise are the great miracles and wonders, which Brother Branham said that they are for Moses and Elijah. And in the fulfillment of that tent vision, in the time of the fulfillment of that tent vision, the dead in Christ will resurrect in glorified bodies, and we who are alive will be transformed. In other words, in the midst of that fulfillment. Now, those miracles happen when and with whom? That is on page 136 on paragraph 1208. There it tells us, will the bride before Jesus comes, will she have all the power of the Holy Ghost to perform miracles, raise dead, and so on, as in the latter rain? Or is this latter rain for the 144,000 Jews? Will all ministers have this? Are we just waiting for the coming? Now, latter rain, 144,000 Jews? No. That's when Elijah and Moses. There is where the miracles take place. The things that the people's been looking for, the Pentecostals for miracles, that's where that all take place in that, under them. See, that's Elijah and Moses. We're just to wait on the coming of the Lord. What does all this point out to? Who will be fulfilling it? The ministries of Moses and Elijah. Now, it's in the age of the cornerstone, the Jewish age. It is not under a Gentile age. Notice, on page 50, there is where it tells us, on paragraph 436, don't you see how it is? The people today, how their great something is going to shake the whole world and everything. That's unscriptural, no sir. The next thing in order is the going of the church. Read in the church age, you see what? Now, these other things that to take place is during the time of wedding ceremony when the church is in glory. God returns back with great wonders to perform, international miracles and things by the Jews. Don't go to the church at all. And there he writes Moses and Elijah and the miracles. Now, he speaks to us about that in this message, Dreams and Visions, which Brother William spoke to us there in Puerto Rico. He says, notice something. When they ask Brother Branham, is the church going to have a ministry where wonders and signs and all those things will be seen? He says, no. That will be for the Hebrews. What you should be waiting for is the coming of the Lord. And Brother William says, in other words, not a ministry the way you saw in Brother Branham, in the dispensation of grace. You will not see that again in the dispensation of grace. And yet he speaks about the tenth vision where those things will be seen. In the tenth vision, he speaks of these things because they belong to another dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom, which is the dispensation that operates for the chosen ones among the Gentiles and for the chosen ones among the Hebrew people who have the promise of receiving the everlasting gospel. See why this promise of the ministries of Moses and Elijah is not for the Gentiles, in other words, for the dispensation of grace? It is for the ministry of Moses and Elijah in the dispensation of the kingdom. Now, it continues to say here, it says, and in the fulfillment of that tenth vision, in the time of the fulfillment of that tenth vision, the dead in Christ will resurrect in glorified bodies, and we who are alive will be transformed. That is what he tells us there on page 12 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 96. Now, it's written between the lines a lot of times. When we get our big tent up out here somewhere, we'll take plenty of time and go through them in between the lines. Watch the resurrection thing, how it moves in there. And he writes, in the tent equals the resurrection. There will come a time when that will be carried out, where we will experience the visit of all those who are in the sixth dimension. One of the things that moves in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, which is between the lines, is the resurrection. In a service like this one, those things would be taking place. In other words, it will be something common. He says, see how the resurrection moves. All those things, notice, because that is part of the fulfillment of the third pool, the resurrection. In other words, before the transformation, one of the stages that we will be seeing, in addition to all the ones we have already seen, but the time will come when one of them will be seeing those who have departed, seeing them again as young people. Oh, wait, but the congregation seems bigger today. New people have come. I think I know that young man. Look, it will be something so natural that for us, who at that time, the rapturing faith will be at that level, when we see them, that change will take place there. He says it will be in a moment. We long for that to be soon. The squeeze will surely be severe then. Now, look, on 135 as well, there he tells us, from paragraph 1206, this is the third pool, and is speaking the word. It seems entirely possible for you to speak the word, and one would be completely and fully restored, placed entirely ready for the rapture in the resurrection. The Son of Man, notice how, by speaking the word. This is so, or is it not? And you would do this if properly pressed upon. Would you not? Escape all these things. It's got a ditto there. Escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:36. Now, my dear friend, see? Luke 21:36. Now, I think here that you got a good statement. Yes, sir. Now, that would be so. You said, Brother Branham, in other words, here's what I am. I don't think that it's. I believe, not polishing up what you said, but I believe I can make it a little clearer to people. See? You are believing because of the spoken words and things like that that he said about. And all of you here witnessed the squirrels and all these other things that's been done. But did you notice that was sovereignly given? I never asked him, Lord, let me do this, speak these things in like that. There above that paragraph, he writes, standing before the Son of Man. And he also writes, the third pull equals speaking the word. The third pull is to speak the word, because that is the greatest miracle, to bring the word. At the bottom, he also writes, squirrels created by the word, the spiritual food for the age of the cornerstone. Below, at the end of that paragraph, which is in the middle. Now he continues on the other paragraph, on the other page. Squirrels created by the word, the spiritual food for the age of the cornerstone. Now it says, I never ask him, Lord, let me do this, speak these things in like that, do these things there. I never ask him that. He, by his own divine will, came to me and said, you go do this. And he draws Star of David there on the right. And he also writes above, created squirrels. And he writes, the seventh seal with the seven thunders, the claim. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say, that is why the fulfillment of the tenth vision is so important. A fulfillment that couldn't be carried out in the time of Brother Branham, because it wasn't for his time. Through him, God is showing him what will happen later on. He went to visit to a great tent cathedral. When he went, it was already built. It was already in operation. It was being ministered. See, if it was being ministered, then there was someone there in whom the Holy Spirit was operating the ministry, ministering. Therefore, it was not his tabernacle. It was not his tent. He says that he had never seen that tent. So, he came to see it when it was already built and when it was already in operation. In the Book of Quotations, there is a place where he says, the angel said to him, but this is not your tabernacle. Well, if it wasn't his, then it belonged to someone else. He says, somebody built it, and it has to be someone who had the ministry for that work, because the pillar of fire entered there. It entered into that little place. It rested upon that little place, and remember that it did the same thing in the tabernacle that Moses dedicated to God, and also the temple that Solomon built and dedicated to God. In this Book of the Seals, notice, on page 563, there it tells us almost at the bottom, it says, a voice comes, said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things, said, now let them alone. And just then he picked me up, and he took me up and set me way up high to where a meeting was going on. Looked like a tent or a cathedral of some sort. And I look, and there was a little box-like, little place over in the side. And I seen that light was talking to somebody above me. That light that you see there on the picture. 50 Laya, 8th age. He wrote that there. Above me. 7th age. On the left, towards the top, he writes, the tent equals the third pool. It whirled away from me like that and went over the tent and said, I'll meet you there, and said, this will be the third pool and you won't tell it to nobody. There on the right upward, he writes, the light was speaking to someone, to a prophet. In other words, everything that ministry would be carrying out in the midst of the church is by order of the pillar of fire. The pillar of fire talks to him and tells him what to do. Brother Branham already saw it. Therefore, the elect of God were able to identify where the pillar of fire was. And in Sabino Canyon, he said, this is the third pool, and there is three great things that goes with it. One unfolded yesterday, he writes, Moses and Elijah. The other one unfolded today, he writes, the second coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. And there is one thing that I cannot interpret because it is in an unknown language. But I stand right there and looked right straight at it. And this is the third pool coming up. And the Holy Spirit of God, oh my. That's the reason all heaven was silent. There at the bottom he writes, the tent, a type of the age of the cornerstone and its people in it. And in that age, there will be a tent cathedral under a ministry. And also in this booklet, he also writes in that excerpt that is placed there of that we just read. He writes, the third pool will be in the Great Tent Cathedral. Also here at the top, notice on this book, he writes, on the top margin, he writes, the third pool, the creative spoken word creating, the creative spoken word revealing the seven seals, the creative word spoken by the two olive trees in the tent. I will repeat it again. The third pool, the creative spoken word creating, the creative spoken word revealing the seven seals, the creative word spoken by the two olive trees in the tent. Well then, the ministry that the Holy Spirit is operating in the tent is the ministry of Moses and Elijah. Because the Son of Man comes with his angels. And what is, Brother Branham says, what the seventh seal is to the church, which is the coming of the Lord, is the seventh trumpet to Israel, Moses and Elijah. In this message, speak to this mountain. There the Reverend William Branham also says, he's narrating about the creation of squirrels. He says, I said, is this the scripture that you're trying to get to me? Is this that other step that we're coming up to? You gave me a vision and said it would be confirmed in a little building somewhere in a meeting when the tent gets started. I said, is this what it's leading to? If it is, Lord, then I'll take you by your word, which each one of us has done. We have taken the Lord by his word, by your word, Lord. I said, and there shall come a young red squirrel and set on that old naked limb out yonder, and I'll shoot him from right here. I said, if this be my new ministry that's coming in, something greater that he will finally confirm in that little building. I said, if it be that, I said, if the Lord was confirming my ministry there, to let me know that he's going to help his people and let me do it, I said, then the same Jehovah Jireh, I was in need of a squirrel, the same as he, Abraham, was in need of a ram. And I believe that Jehovah Jireh placed it there by his same spoken word. And notice, he writes there at the bottom in the booklet, squirrels created by the spoken word. A dash, creation of food. That is, both the spiritual food as well as the physical food. When that time comes, there will be no limits in an elect of God with rapturing faith. They will be able to create spiritual food and physical food as well, because they will have the knowledge of the coming of the Lord. After that, squirrels created by the spoken word, creation of food. He writes, the storm stopped. From there to the bottom, well, he puts two dito marks, or three dito marks, because it says the same thing. The storm stopped by the spoken word. There he writes, and he draws the dito marks, and he writes, control over nature. Page 304 of the seals tells us about a group of elect with that leader, which is the Holy Spirit operating in that ministry of Moses and Elijah, placing the word right. Wrote control over nature. We're going on to the third one, because there were five manifestations of the power of God. And he said, what you've seen partially, what you have seen in part, in other words, what was being carried out under the ministry of Brother Branham was so great, and it was partially. He said, you will see in the fullness of its power. In other words, that is without limit. He says, when the squeeze comes down. There is where Brother Branham says, and Brother William also said it, faith catches better then. At that point, what someone needed to see, they will see it then for sure. The third. The little fish resurrected. And diddle mark, because it's by the spoken word. And he writes, the resurrection. The fourth one, the tumor removed. Diddle marks as well. In other words, by the spoken word. Divine healing. Divine healing, spiritual healing, is the greatest miracle that a person can receive to be healed spiritually. It's not that we complain. We can speak about all of that on Sunday. It's not that physical healing is bad. On the contrary, we all want to be well and healthy. But the most important one is the divine healing, to be healed spiritually, not sick, but healed. Today I desire, not only for the people here, for all those who are seeing me, everyone who hears me later, or those who will read these words, I ask the God of glory that you be healed spiritually. May not one remain spiritually sick. By having spiritual healing, brother, we have it all. There automatically, with faith, believing, physical healing comes. The fourth, the tumor is removed. Divine healing. Remember, with the dedos marks in between, because it's by the spoken word. The fifth, the salvation of two young men. And the dedo marks, by the spoken word. And he writes there, call and salvation. Now, in these days we've spoke about Sister Hattie Wright, who is in the fifth one here, which he mentions, where the Holy Spirit said to her, speak whatever you want. Ask for whatever you want. In other words, by speaking, ask for whatever you want. She was given the power of the spoken word through the mouth of a woman, and woman represents church. Therefore, the church bride will have in her mouth the power of the spoken word to speak the word into eternal life over her family members. And just like the angel, through Brother Branham, said to her, tell her to ask for whatever she wants, whatever she wants. And Brother Branham said, I give him to you in the name of Jesus. So at this end time, the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of his instrument, will say to the church bride, when you ask, and surely she has already asked, right? And he says to them, I give them to you in the new and eternal name of the Lord. As your claim over your family members. I give them to you. I give them to you. Brother Branham said to Sister Hattie Wright back then. Today, the church bride has heard the same thing. And since she walks by faith, and her works are in faith and by faith, You have believed it. You have accepted. Therefore, it is already a fact. Now, that power, which the Lord received, and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth, aware that that power would come to the church bride at this end time without limitations as well. Now, he keeps saying there, the same angel of the covenant. I mean, the message I'm reading here, the blessing of following the true guide, the angel of the covenant. He goes on to say, the same angel of the covenant who has been in the midst of his church, notice from age to age, in the messenger of each age, now we see him entering into a little room. Now, how can you see the pillar of fire entering into a little room? It is easy. In the veil of flesh. And there you are seeing what Brother Branham saw. Things are fulfilled in such a simple way, in full view of the people themselves. And those who are not watching are waiting for that to happen. And it did happen already. Because the pillar of fire has entered into the age of the cornerstone, our age, the dispensation of the kingdom. It has gone beyond that. It has entered into the soul of each chosen one. Now, after that, when a person receives in his life the work that he carried out in his first coming, there was something that was done. Now, God is carrying out a work through the spoken word, through preaching. And God's elect have been believing it and receiving it. Remember that everything was in operation when the Reverend William Branham visited that place. In other words, everything was in operation. He did not go and see something that was about to begin, but rather something that was already, as we would say, in full swing. It was already at a stage where everything that had begun in phases was now being seen. Everything was already being fully manifested. Preaching, altar calls, prayer lines, healing, all at the same time. Why? Because it was already in a stage. The church bride at that specific day was at a stage where all the stages and all the phases were being fulfilled at once in the same activity. Therefore, it was the ministry of the Holy Spirit through another person at the end time, after the ministry of the Reverend William Branham. The pillar of fire that accompanied him entered there. The angel who accompanied him entered, and he was seeing everything that was happening there. Notice on this message, the anointed ones at the end time, which is the message that they place back there. A pamphlet where he narrates the tenth vision. And there's a place here where he wrote, when the angel told him. That is, he's narrating and says, I heard the familiar swishing sound made by the light that accompanies my ministry. And I saw it go from me to the little room. The angel of the Lord was still standing by me in the air. He said to me, I'll meet you in there. And I saw his hand point to the little room. He added, this is the third pool. I said, I don't understand this. He replied, and there I will meet you. And there is where he writes, it's the ministry of the Lord in his second coming. In other words, the ministry of the Lord, the ministry of the coming of the Son of Man in the midst of the church bride. God working there and thus fulfilling the promise of his coming. And look, in the message, the spoken word is the original seed. There he tells us, on page 104, let us look here. It says, he is the seed word in his body, and he in us becomes the seed word in us. What? All that God was, he poured it into Christ. And all Christ was poured into the church. That's the power. Now watch. Remember, God's law of reproduction now, remember, after its kind. That's right. The seed of Christ, the Word, and he writes, the second coming must come through his body. And he writes, the bride. And he draws a Star of David on the left, and he writes towards the top, the coming of the Word through his body. In other words, through the church bride, in one of the members of his church, because he goes on to say, are you getting tired? All right, just a minute now. Let's just hold quiet and pray. I want to get this in real good. I want this to grind down. The seed of Christ must, M-U-S-T, must come through his body, not through a denomination. That is why he wrote in the book of quotations that it won't be a denomination. He says Moses and Elijah will not be a denomination. Not through denomination, but through a born-again seed of the Word must come through. And he writes there, the second coming of the Lord, someone who is born again. In other words, through a member of the church. Now remember, what is it? Christ's seed. How does my seed come? Through the body. How does the apple tree seed come? Through the body. Seed is through the body. And the church is the body of Christ. That right? The Bible church. This birth produces. That's the new birth. Himself in body. In other words, it is through the church bride that he would fulfill that promise. Now he goes on to say there, it's like in today's message, there's a place where he says, I don't know if it's this one. Here on page, look, 19, he says, so that you understand it quickly and you may comprehend that the Son of Man, Christ, the Son of Man will be revealing himself through human flesh at the last day. And that will be the sign of the end of the world. It will be the sign of the end of the dispensation of grace of the church ages. It will be the sign of the end of that kingdom of the Gentiles, which at this end time would be in the feet, part of iron and part of clay. That is the sign of the church, or for the church, and for the world, because the greatest sign is a prophet. Now he goes on to say there, and it was said through him on another occasion that the international miracles and wonders, they correspond to Moses and Elijah, to the two olive trees. The ministries that were promised to carry out that claiming work, that labor in the midst of the church. Last Sunday, I was humming a song there. Mercy for the last time, or God's mercy for the last time. I finished it. I was missing a stanza. And I told, I don't know if Brother Bonnie is here. Hadn't told him, because we arrived and We did not tell anyone we were coming, but I felt the desire to be with you here today. And I was about to record it since I left Puerto Rico, and I kept looking for notes and searching here and there. And Lord, should I do it live? And until I told him suddenly, I said, we're going over there. What? What? Yes. So let's get ready. I do this because that's getting ready. Let's get ready and let's go there with the brethren. And we go as far as God allows us to. Because at any moment, we have to be ready. We have to be prepared. Now that song is a song of mercy, and it is a warning of judgment. Because the Son of Man, notice, at this time, God said through the Reverend William Branham that He comes with blessing, but He also comes with curse. And the blessing is for those who receive in that claiming work, but divine judgment for those who reject Him. I don't know if He's around. Oh, I caught you. He thought it was for Sunday, but we're ready. I nearly lost my voice. I'm a little hoarse today, but I'll sing along with you. And I don't know if you can put the lyrics there on the screen. Let's stand, yes, please. That way we can stretch a bit. Look, a time will come in which there will be no limitations. And what we would do is pause. Because, notice, just with those who are gathered here today, it would take a time and there would not be enough time. We would have to continue tomorrow and Sunday, perhaps Monday, perhaps even Tuesday and Wednesday. But notice, we already have a commitment there in Puerto Rico on Tuesday. We have to leave here to be at that commitment. But everything will move in a certain way, in which everything will be done according to how God has it in His program. I don't know if you have it. Did you send it to... Look, if they can send it to the guys so that they can... You can sing along there.
Misericordia te ofreceré, es el reclamo que en su venida te vino a buscar. Es la paciencia de Dios en la tierra por última vez. Si lo rechazas, los juicios divinos tendrás que ver. Nuestros ojos se secarán de tanto llorar por rechazar a Moisés y Elías como señal. Ya no estaré para abrirte la puerta para entrar. Será muy tarde, me buscarás y no me hallarás. Vuestros ojos se secarán de tanto llorar por rechazar a Moisés y Elías como señal. Ya ya no estaré para abrirte la puerta para entrar. Será muy tarde, me buscarás y no me hallarás, y clamarás a los montes y a las piedras, esconderlos del juez de toda la tierra.
The church bride will also be speaking. She will be speaking blessings for her family members, blessing for those who have given her a cup of water, but they will also have the word of judgment in their mouth.
Será, pero todo aquel que no lo reciba se lamentará por rechazar a Moisés y Elías como señal. Ya no estaré para abrirte la puerta para entrar. Será muy tarde, me buscarás y no me hallarás. Los ojos se secarán de tanto llorar por rechazar a Moisés y Elías como señal. Ya no estaré para abrirte la puerta para entrar. Será muy tarde, me buscarás y no me hallarás, y clamarás a los montes y a las piedras, escondernos del juez de toda la tierra. Nuestros ojos se secarán de tanto llorar por rechazar a Moisés y Elías como señal. Ya no estaré para abrirte la puerta para entrar. Será muy tarde, me buscarás y no me hallarás, y clamarás a los montes y a las piedras, escondernos del juez de toda la tierra.
The church bride has received, has accepted, has believed in his coming. But the world noticed something terrible awaits the world for rejecting it. There is always a consequence. When it is received, it is believed, and it's of a blessing. But when it's rejected, there is a divine judgment, there is a curse. Look in this message. There's a man here that can turn on the light. He said, I pray the Heavenly Father to let this message soak deep into the hearts of the people who are present, and those who will hear it by tape. And may the light come forth upon the word, the seed, and bring forth every predestinated seed that's been planted out here in these different glares and organizations. May they see like Nicodemus, even if they have to come by night. Come to the light. Even if you have to come like Nicodemus, quietly at night, because he did not want it to be seen. Look, whoever wants to come quietly, we will also receive him. Don't worry. We'll have you sit in a corner in the back. But come. Come before the door is closed. Notice, God even extended his mercy to them. Granted, Father, may there come forth this great issue of this rock that's cut out of the mountain without hands. That's the second coming. It'll crush these Gentile kingdoms to the ground. All these kingdoms, spiritual kingdoms and natural kingdoms. And the rock will cover the whole earth. It will be a purified affair. Those who that rock crush will be ground into powder. Those who fall upon that rock, oh, that's a comfort. How would you say comfort here, comfort in English? Comfort is something that is comfortable. Those who fall upon that rock shall have a solid foundation. And he writes, the rock, the stone cut without hand, and a cornerstone. Oh Christ, let me, as your servant, die off on this rock of thy word. Lord God, let me stand as David and them warriors of old who stood for David. Here I am seeing those warriors of today, of this present time. Let me stand for this word today while I see it rejected by the denominations. It's laying up here in a little retreat somewhere. Oh God, grant that we'll have strength and courage and the Holy Spirit to stand, for the hour are getting darker and darker. But let us always remember that you are present to turn on the light at any hour that you wish to. You can turn the light, Father. You can even be in darkness someday at some point in your life. There is one who God has already told him that he can turn on the light at that moment when you are yourself in sadness, out something that troubles you. There is a man that can turn on the light. You can turn on that light in my life. Tell the Lord, Father, you can turn it on. I'm going through a difficult time today, these days. Getting here was a struggle. Father, help me. Oh, God bless all those who have come from afar off, those who are still on their way. Bring them safely here, Lord. And may they receive everything they have come to find. And may you pour out all those needs in their lives. We haven't come here to be seen. We have come here for you to see us, Lord, so that you, Lord, may work in our lives. May we leave this place better than we came in. May we honor your name every day of our lives, in works, in actions, in thoughts, in attitudes. Help us, Father. You promised to be with us. Oh, it's because you are so faithful that you are here with us. Today on this day, you are with me, and he is with you. Thank you, Father, for this day, for this afternoon. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for life. Thank you, Father, because I am alive. Because I can worship you, I can glorify you, I can hear you. And I can see how you turn on that light here in my soul. And you bring me closer and closer to you. Because I want to be like you, Lord. When I see myself in the mirror, I want to say, but Lord, I am you, right? And for him to say to you, oh my, you're looking so much like me. And the moment will come when He'll say, you look completely like me, to the point that I'm going to transform you. May that time come soon. And in obedience, let us continue to receive the angel's instructions, which are taking us straight, directly to the promised land of the new body. And He's looking at that target. That there are storms along the way, don't take your eyes off the target. Don't take your eyes off the eternal and glorious body. You will, He has promised, God has promised it, and you will obtain it. It's a promise. And He is faithful to fulfill it. The Son of Man, a sign for this generation. Days like this, they are days that are approaching. Days of, may God work, and may the preaching intertwine with those stages that were seen and which would begin at some point. Now the people must be prepared. We long to receive the blessings. We long to receive everything that those stages have. Brother Branham says in the Book of the Seals, in one part, that the moment will come when we will see arms and legs being restored. By that point, that faith is very high. Well, it has truly been a blessing, a great privilege to be here with you, enjoying this human warmth and also heat from the environment. But to us is already 70 degrees. 70 degrees, Brother Branham said, somewhere that the temperature be in the millennium, around there. Because we are already living in a heavenly age. For us, we already see and look at the temperature with those spiritual eyes. And by doing so, there's no heat that can stop us from receiving the blessings of God. May God bless you, may God keep you. And continue forward, preparing yourself to continue receiving all this teaching which God promised that would be given to the church bride. The subject that we have for today, the Son of Man, a sign for this generation. Let us leave with us right away our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.